Okay. Well, good morning, brethren.
Good morning.
My text is 2 John 1, verse 4. I rejoiced greatly that I found of thy children walking in truth, as we have received a commandment from the Father. John was rejoicing that his children in the faith walked in truth. That's a joy to us when we see people we know who have heard the truth and are now walking in it.
Amen.
On the other hand, it's a grief when we see people who know the truth and yet don't walk in it. And in the next book, 3 John, in chapter 1, verse 3, he says, again, for I rejoiced greatly when the brethren came and testified the truth that is in thee, even as thou walkest in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. So John had imparted the truth to these people, and that was all he could do. Now they knew the truth, but it's not enough to just know the truth. Knowing the truth doesn't do us any good if we don't put it into practice, if we don't act on it.
Right.
Hebrews 4:2, for unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. In fact, knowing the truth and not acting on it just gives us a greater judgment.
Amen.
Knowing the truth gives us a greater responsibility before God. Luke 12:48 says, unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall be much required. We have been given the Word of God that we can read and study. We've gotten used to that. We may even take it for granted at times. But many of those who have gone before us didn't have the Word of God that they could read and study as we can. Or it was in a language they couldn't understand. We have been extremely blessed, but with this blessing comes a greater responsibility.
Amen.
There are many times when people know the truth and choose not to act upon it. This is extremely short-sighted. It's taking a view of this world as being higher than the things of eternity.
Yeah.
Hebrews 12 rebukes Esau, who for present gain sold his birthright, indulging himself in the present, knowing full well that he would have to pay for it later. That's the same attitude we have if we choose to live according to the flesh rather than walk in the truth, trading eternal riches for temporal things. Unfortunately, many do just that. In Daniel 5, Belshazzar calls Daniel to interpret the handwriting that he's seen on the wall. And Daniel recounts to Belshazzar what God had done with Nebuchadnezzar, how he'd humbled him after he had walked in pride. And then Daniel says to Belshazzar in verse 22, and thou, his son, O Belshazzar, hast not humbled thine heart, though thou knewest all this, but hast lifted up thyself against the Lord of heaven. He knew Nebuchadnezzar had been humbled for lifting himself up against the Most High God. And yet he did not humble himself, but exalted himself, and his punishment was even greater than that of Nebuchadnezzar. Another example in Scripture is Solomon. 1 Kings 11, verse 9 says, the Lord was angry with Solomon because his heart was turned from the Lord God of Israel, which had appeared unto him twice. God had appeared to Solomon twice and given him a word. What Solomon had done was wrong, but God held him to extra account because he knew the truth.
Amen.
He had gotten it directly from God. He knew God, but he chose to go after the false gods and worship and serve them anyway. And in verse 10, it says, God is speaking of Solomon, and had commanded him concerning this thing that he should not go after other gods, but he kept not that which the Lord commanded. He knew the truth. God had given him an incredible amount of wisdom, but he did not walk in it. Mm-hmm. Balaam was a prophet of God. God would give him a word, and he would speak it. He knew the right way. But he loved the wages of unrighteousness. Instead of walking in the way of truth that he knew was right, he walked in unrighteousness. He had his eyes set on earthly things, on silver and gold that would perish. He came to his end while walking in sin. He was slain when the children of Israel, at the command of the Lord, fought against Midian. The alternative to walking in the truth is to walk in a lie.
That's right.
Whenever you believe and act according to a lie, you suffer the consequences. You can see this happen all the time in earthly things, and heavenly things are no different in this regard. The only difference is that with eternal things, there's a lot more at stake. This is eternity we are dealing with. This is not something to be handled lightly. There are souls at stake, eternal destinies.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
So people choose not to walk according to the truth because either they have believed a lie or because they have not esteemed the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt, choosing the pleasures of sin rather than eternity. Either they've believed a falsehood or else they know the truth, but they still choose not to act on it. The things of this life don't even satisfy.
Amen.
To choose them over eternal riches is great folly. They're like lures on a fish hook ready to snare us. Those who value earthly things above the heavenly have not counted the cost correctly and seen that though it is costly, it is worth it to follow Christ. Hebrews 11 says of Moses that by faith he forsook Egypt, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Walking in truth requires that we, like Moses, place our faith and trust in him who promised.
Amen.
It is one thing for us to know he is faithful. It is another to actually trust him when we realize what it will cost. When you are walking somewhere, every part of you is moving in the same direction at once. You cannot walk two ways at once. You're not looking back. You're looking forward to wherever you are going. When you walk in truth, every part of your life is consistent with the truth. It is being a doer of the word and not a hearer only. James 1:22. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like a man beholding his natural face in a glass. And he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. The word of God is not here for us to merely fill our minds with more information. God gave us his word so that it would change us, not so we could be puffed up with more knowledge.
Amen.
The word of God should be instructing how we live, how we speak, even what we think. If it's not doing those things, we're not gaining anything from it, but only fooling ourselves. Deuteronomy 30:14. But the word is very nigh unto thee, in thy mouth and in thy heart, that thou mayest do it. God sends his word with a purpose that we would both hear it and be doers of it. Walking in truth can be costly. For that reason, many who desire to enter the kingdom of heaven do not make it. It requires the laying aside of sin. But it also at times requires the casting off of things that may not be sin in and of themselves. They may be things that hinder our walk. It may be crowding out better things. Or reducing how much we think about things above. All of these things will have to go if we are to follow Christ.
Amen.
We don't want to carry weights along with us in the race. Hebrews 12. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. The challenges in our walk will be genuinely difficult. We will only be able to overcome them by looking to Jesus. He endured by looking ahead to the joy that was set before him. We will overcome the same way he overcame by looking ahead to our reward.
Amen.
We cannot endure if we do not set our eyes on Jesus. Without our eyes fixed above, we will soon become too discouraged by our earthly view of circumstances. If we focus on the things of this earth, the heavenly things start to dim, and we don't see as clearly. This is why we do not walk by sight, but by faith. 2 Corinthians 5:7, for we walk by faith, not by sight. Faith in the promises of God is what will lead us safely through the difficulties of this life. Nothing else will succeed in guiding us safely through. 2 Corinthians 4:17, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we look not at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Our light affliction. This was written by a man who had suffered shipwreck and stoning. He had been in prison. He had been beaten. He had suffered almost everything you could imagine for the sake of Christ. And he considered it a light affliction compared to the glory to follow. In fact, in Romans 8:18, he says, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us.
Amen.
He didn't even want to compare them. That's how different they were. He could endure the sufferings in this life because he could see the reward. He calls them not worthy to be compared because he wasn't looking at them. He was looking at eternity. By faith, we look to the eternal weight of glory and not the things which are seen with our eyes. Only by keeping our eyes fixed on Jesus will we make it to the finish line.
Amen.
If we look at earthly things, we'll stumble and fall. Philippians 3:13. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
Paul was looking toward the prize. He was competing so as to win. He was laying everything aside. And it can be costly. People are concerned about how much it's going to cost them. It looks like a lot to give up. Peter seems to have been a little bit concerned about this at one point. In Luke 18:28, Then Peter said, "Lo, we have left all and followed thee." And Jesus said, "Verily I say unto you, there is no man that hath left house, or parents, or brethren, or wife, or children, for the kingdom of God's sake, who shall not receive manifold more in this present time, and in the world to come, everlasting life."
Amen.
The everlasting life is where we need to keep our focus. Mm-hmm. To summarize, if we are going to walk in the truth, we will first need to know the truth. Mm-hmm. You can't walk in the truth if you don't know it. Zeal for God will not substitute for knowing the truth. Paul says of Israel in Romans 10, verse 2, "For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness, are going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God." If we want to know the truth, we need to look in the right place, and that is the Word of God. Anywhere else we look is going to deceive us. Matthew 4:4, "But he answered and said, It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." God's Word is what sustains us. Without it, we would be stumbling around in the dark and falling into a pit. His word is a lamp for our path. Brother TJ spoke last night about rightly dividing the word of truth. Interpreting the scriptures takes discernment and ultimately the Spirit of God to instruct us as we read his word. We don't want to handle God's word carelessly, or there are many false doctrines that we would fall into. Mm-hmm. Finally, once we know the truth, we've studied the word carefully, then we put it into practice. It will only have its desired effect if it is mixed with faith.
Amen.
Faith in God's word will lead us to walk according to his word. It will produce fruit. When God brings forth fruit, you are no longer the same person. So I want to exhort you, brethren, to be diligent to know the word of God, to consider him faithful who has made the promises, and to keep your eyes fixed on Jesus, that you may endure to the end. You have comments or corrections?
About zeal for God, not according to knowledge, how that doesn't help you. Emotional excitement, being pumped up, or even having a strong desire, without the truth, it could go anywhere. Mm-hmm. But with the truth, then you're seeking Him, finding Him, and like you said, He's changing us into that same thing.
Amen.
I like how you talked about those things that we know are a great responsibility that we have and be held accountable on a higher level for those who know that. So we have a great responsibility to walk.
Amen.
Amen. I appreciated I just appreciated everything, Brother McDaniel, but this word you spoke about Moses, he endured as seeing him that is invisible. And you made the connection that we endure the same way by seeing and putting our trust in him who is invisible, mm-hmm. of which the scripture testifies. We're talking about that one. So it was good. Good word.
Made me think of having a form of God by denying the power thereof. Godliness. You sit there, you look good, you might know the scriptures, you're hanging out with the right people. But if you're not studying, if you're not really digging in and allowing God in your life. And it's just an open shed. It's just like the Pharisees. They were white as sepulchers. They were full of dead men's bones. They knew the scriptures. But they didn't see Jesus in them. They didn't see who the scriptures were about. That's where our studying, that's where our prayer, that's where our source comes from, is from studying the Word and allowing the power of God to dwell within our lives.
And you don't want other people to be how you know the Word. You do want to learn from other people, but you need to know the Word of God yourself, or you're going to not have a firm anchor.
Very good to hear reminders. And I liked how you put it, that Esau was indulging himself in the present. That is such a temptation and such a subtle way that Satan has to draw you away from the eternal things, is to get you immersed in the present. And just, I appreciated also this, just stating so clearly that knowing the truth isn't enough. You have to walk in it, or it really demonstrates that you don't believe it. Knowledge puffeth up, but love edifieth. And so if your knowledge of the scripture is just to impress other people, or to think that your security is in knowing something, if it doesn't change how you live, you're not denying yourself and taking up your cross. It is going to be to greater condemnation.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. I think there's a difference between knowing the facts and knowing the truth. Like if you really know the truth,
yes,
and understand that, there's no way that you're going to that you're not going to follow the Lord. You know, if you really see things clearly, but if you just know facts, you might not follow those.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Amen. Jesus said, "Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free."
Amen. Amen.
So truth is liberating when you know it in the scriptural sense.
Amen.
Not just have a factual knowledge of it or know about it. You actually know it. You're intimate with the truth.
Amen. So knowing the truth is a gift. The understanding of the truth is a gift. But because that we're what we're born with by nature cannot know the things of the Spirit. They're foolishness. So knowing the truth is a gift that comes from above, like Jesus said to Peter, "Flesh and blood have not revealed this unto you." That's true of every one of us. No one figured it out. It's revealed. So walking in the truth is also a gift. I thought of, while you were preaching there, I thought of David saying, "Thou hast set my feet in a large place." That can be said of, that was like David's old covenant expression of walking in the truth. This is a large place that we've come to.
Amen.
Appreciate your telling us about the truth of its wide scope. It not only declares present realities, it reveals future or eternal realities.
Amen.
Just as true as these present realities are, so are the realities still to come. Because it's God with whom we have to do, and He knows the end from the beginning. So he's seeing these things that are still yet ahead, and seeing Him that is invisible engenders hope, engenders anticipation and expectation for these things to come to pass.
Amen.
I thank you for this.
Amen.
Amen.
I really like your thought that every part of the body is going in the same direction when you're walking. You can't walk partially in the truth. So walking has the concept of progress and direction and destination. all these things that are involved in our walking in the truth.
Well, I thank you all for your comments.